Guru topics. First of all, what is the need for having a guru anyway? I mean, you can just go read a book, right? Go read a book. Learn it all yourself. Do it yourself. Spiritual life. Well, no. No, no. Read the book. Which book are you going to read? The topmost book is Srimad Bhagavatam. In Bhagavatam, it is stated, Tad vijnanartham sa gurum eva bigachet. To get that, for the sake of getting that spiritual knowledge, one must approach a guru. Srila Prabhupada, on explaining this stanza, he would often stress the word eva. It is compulsory. One cannot avoid it. One must approach a guru. It is essential. This is Krishna's system. Krishna set up this system. You can write all comments, derogatory comments about what I'm saying, but this is Krishna's system. I didn't make it up. Just a few of the many, many, many quotes of Srila Prabhupada in this connection. And of course, it's not just Srila Prabhupada saying it. Every guru says it. This is a quote from a talk that Srila Prabhupada gave on Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, texts 2 and 3, on March the 8th, 1972, in Calcutta. Srila Prabhupada said, "Without guru, you cannot have mercy of Krishna. You cannot jump over Krishna like a monkey. That is not possible. Krishna will not accept. If you think that without a guru I shall jump over Krishna and he'll be merciful upon me, that monkey's business will not be accepted." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore says, Gopi Bharto Parakamalaya Dasa 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 Anudasaha. You have to become the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. Then Krishna will be pleased. If you jump over Krishna, "Krishna, I have come to you." Krishna is not so easy. Therefore, Guru Krishna Kripai Pai. If you are sincere, then Krishna will be merciful, first of all. Then Krishna will guide you, if you're sincere. Srila Prabhupada says it three times. If you're sincere, Krishna will direct you. Approach such and such a guru. And if the guru is pleased, then you'll get Krishna. So by the mercy of Krishna, who sees someone is sincerely searching for him, one gets a guru, and the guru directs one to Krishna. By the mercy of Krishna, one gets a guru. By the mercy of a guru, one gets Krishna. So gurus are needed in every generation to teach newcomers, to perpetuate the parampara, and even to interpret the previous gurus. I'll get back to that in just a second. It's not that everyone who is a sincere devotee of Krishna is going to be very learned. But especially the gurus are expected to have, as we find from Shastra, Shrutriyam Brahmanishtam. They should have heard from authorities, from their own guru and gurus. They should have absorbed the message of the Shastra. They should be fixed in the teachings of the Shastra, in spiritual realization. And the particular service of someone who takes the role of a guru is to teach about Krishna consciousness. And I'll get back to that in a talk upcoming, Krishna willing. I'll get back to that. So not everyone can be very learned, but the guru's role, his role in Vaishnava society, different people have different services. Someone is cooking for the deity. Some is cleaning the floor for the deity. Someone is doing karma yoga, working in society and offering funds. Karma yoga in bhakti, offering funds for the propagation of the Krishna consciousness movement. So everyone has a different role to play, but the gurus are supposed to, the brahmanas are supposed to be those who They take time to study, absorb the message of Shastra, and explain that especially to their disciples. One becomes learned by learning from a person. And see, even in Islam, they say, "Well, we don't accept any gurus." But you see, in Bangladesh, I saw they have the dargahs of the peers, and over in Rajasthan, it's a hugely popular Muslim. The most popular Muslim pilgrimage place in India is the dargah of that Chishti. Exactly, I don't remember the name, in Ajmer. But in every generation, they have there's a Sufism in particular, what they call a peer, which is, it's a guru. It's just the Islamic version. And even the Ritvik leaders themselves, although they say, no, Prabhupada's the last guru, but they're de facto gurus. And I'll get back to talking about that later also. Because even what the guru teaches, that has to be interpreted by the next generations, especially when there's a major foundational guru like Srila Prabhupada. And in fact, those who promote Ritvik Vad, they are interpreting Srila Prabhupada. They say Srila Prabhupada meant that there would be no future gurus, and no one initiating after him. They're interpreting what Srila Prabhupada said. They're giving their understanding of it. So they are presenting Srila Prabhupada to others and his teachings to others, that particular facet of his teachings they're presenting to others. And every guru must do that. That's what they do, because their disciples can't study for themselves every little facet and of knowledge. And even if they study, then they'll have questions, and the guru is supposed to be able to answer them, although the questions should be relevant to the topic of spiritual realization. And sometimes Srila Prabhupada also treated dismissively certain questions which he thought were not very relevant to the spiritual advancement of the person who was asking. But we see, especially after every major acharya, there will be branches of his followers, and they may have somewhat different outlooks on certain issues, and that can be fractious, as we see in the Krishna conscious movement at the present time. There are different interpretations of what Srila Prabhupada said. So a guru is supposed to do that for his disciples. He's supposed to explain that, we say because we're followers of Srila Prabhupada, and others may say because they're followers of other gurus, well, Srila Prabhupada said this, and this is how it's to be understood. For instance, just to give one example, it was point of contention some years ago, not so much now, I don't hear, but whether we should offer items in arati up, starting from Srila Prabhupada, or down from Krishna. What do we do? There's difference of opinion, because Srila Prabhupada said to offer it going up from the guru to the next guru. But he also said to standardize the deity worship all over the movement according to the Hari Bhakti Vilas and the tradition, which starts from the top and goes down. So then that's an issue, and different people interpret it in different ways. And there are gender roles is a major source of contention. The origin, if any, of the jiva. In time, we all accept that the origin of everything is Krishna. So the gurus interpret the previous gurus and how Because a guru interprets Shastra, interpret in the sense, he explains. And then his own guru will explain in a certain way, and then the next generation will explain that to his disciples. And there may be a difference of outlook also. So that is why gurus are required in every generation. If you see that, for instance, Srila Prabhupada said, we can use the atomic bomb for Krishna. So how do you explain that? Does that mean that it's the duty of devotees to make an atomic bomb and use it for Krishna? Well, I don't think, you never know, there may be some nutcases out there. Why? They say, no, Prabhupada said it. You have to. So they might be thinking, now it's our sacred duty to go and make an atom bomb and use it for Krishna. Well, I can't say that Srila Prabhupada didn't say it, but it wasn't the essence of his teachings, that's for sure. And we have to see that, for a start, we're not in any position to... apart from the fact that we don't have the facility, are we mature enough to have that kind of power by which we could, even psychologically mature enough, or to speak of spiritually mature enough. So, that point anyway, that you can see my understanding of this. Controversial, it would be controversial if people knew it more. But it's not that Srila Prabhupada is advocating, okay, the whole Krishna conscious movement has to covertly make atom bombs. That would be a bizarre interpretation. But you never know. It's possible someone could interpret it like that. So you have to see who's actually representing. And we may say, well, how do I know? I'm just a neophyte. And then Srila Prabhupada explained, well, if you're searching for a guru, you should have at least some idea of what a real guru is like. Just like if you want to buy a diamond, but you don't have any idea of really what a diamond is, you just have some very vague idea, then you'll be cheated. You'll be sold some glass beads at a high price. So one should have some initial understanding of what an actual guru is if one is seeking. Of course, the term guru we use in spiritual circles to mean a spiritual guide, but it can mean simply an elder, just like we find in Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna says, Guru na hatvan hi mahanubhava. He's talking about killing the gurus, who are all greatly respectable persons. He's referring to the elders. Of course, in the society that Arjuna was growing up in, the elders, he was especially referring to Bhishma, Drona, Kripa. These were elders by age. But they're also devotees of Krishna. So there are also spiritual personalities, but he was referring to them as gurus by age. Any venerable person is a guru. Guru is particularly that is, or the word guru is so closely associated with Brihaspati, the demigod, or the guru of the demigods, that when we speak about guru, just like we say in Hindi, Guruvar, which means Thursday, or the day of the guru. And in Bengali, Guruvar or Brihaspatibar. It's the day of Brihaspati. The first guru is the mother. She's the first one to teach the child. Again, in Vedic culture, she'll teach Vedic culture. She'll teach to worship God, or at least the demigods, along with teaching how to, or helping how to walk, how to talk, how to eat, and so many things. So the first guru is the mother. but not necessarily and generally not on the same level as the spiritual guru. The spiritual guru means Gyanadata, one who gives spiritual knowledge. Agyanatimirandhasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurin militam yena tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. We offer obeisance to the guru first and foremost because they remove the ignorance by which we are in darkness. They remove the layers of ignorance, just like removing cataracts from an eye so that our natural ability to see is uncovered. So this is the basic understanding of what a spiritual guru is in Vedic culture. Whether one is a Vaishnav or an Advaitavadi or a Shaiva, but those who are on the spiritual path, the transcendentalists, they understand a guru to be one who gives spiritual knowledge by which one comes out of the illusion of ignorance. Of course, those of us who are Vaishnavas know that the actual truth is Vishnu, Krishna. So an actual guru in the true sense of the term, in the best sense of the term, should be a Vaishnav. Shat karma nipano vipra mantra tantra visharadaha. A Vaishnava guru na syad Vaishnava svapacha guru. Who, it may be that someone is very learned in all the Vedas and the tantras of how to perform different ritualistic activities and so many things. High class Brahmin. But if he's not a Vaishnava, he cannot be a guru in the truest sense of the term. Because guru means one who gives knowledge, the best knowledge, and the best knowledge is to know Vishnu. On the other hand, if someone's born in the lowest of situations, but they're a Vaishnava, then such a person can be, should be, is a guru. Kiba bipra kiba nyasi shudra kene noije Krishna tattva veta shri guru hoi. Whether one is a brahmana, or a shudra, or a sannyasi, or whatever, if one knows the science of Krishna, such a person can be a guru. Jare deko tare koha Krishna upadesh, amaragyai guru hoya taro edesh. Srila Prabhupada quoted this again and again, exhorting his disciples and others, even those who weren't his disciples, to become quoting the words of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that by teaching the message of Bhagavad Gita to everyone one meets, one should become a guru and deliver the land. Now, guru, we generally think of initiation. What exactly is initiation? There's some confusion over that also. One thing is that initiation, or diksha, it's not needed for chanting Harinam. Who said that? Who said that? Who said that? You don't need to take initiation to chant the holy name. No, we ask everyone to chant the holy names. Chaitanya, who said that? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Dika purascharja bidhi opeka nakare. Jibasparshe achandal shabare udhare. One does not have to undergo initiation or execute the activities required before initiation. One simply has to vibrate the holy name with his lips. Thus, even a man in the lowest class can be delivered. So to chant the holy names, one doesn't need initiation. Then why do we give initiation? Chant 16 rounds, follow 4 regulated principles, and accept the guru as one's guide in life. One doesn't need, if one can chant the holy name and attain all perfection. We do not know who the initiating guru, if any, of Haridas Thakur was. But for most people, we do need guidance to help us along the path. Otherwise, simply chanting the holy names, it's not a formal activity which requires so many procedures. So anyone can chant the holy names. And that will purify, can purify them up to the highest level. But to take guidance, to understand what it means to purely chant the holy name, we do require a guru. So although technically it is Dika Purascharja, all the preliminary activities that are required before performing Vedic ritualistic ceremonies, these are not required for chanting the holy names. And one can attain all perfection, but generally it is required. Guidance is required. Submission and surrender and training is required for all these things. One needs a guru. The term diksha can be somewhat confusing because there's the English word initiation, which corresponds to the Sanskrit word diksha. But diksha can mean diksha not just into spiritual life, but sometimes the term initiation is also equated with upanayanam, which is not the same as pancharatrik diksha. I've discussed this in other lectures. I'm not going to get into it in detail. But there can be some confusion. Even when one is the yajaman, someone who is the organizer and the benefactor of a sacrifice, a yajna, then he will be initiated by the yajnik. We find, for instance, Yudhishthira Maharaj, a description in the Bhagavatam. He was initiated for the sacrifice, and then during the period of the sacrifice, he has to follow so many rules. And then when the sacrifice is over, and then that the rules that pertaining to that diksha are finished. So there is some confusion over what is meant by diksha, probably due to terminology within our ISKCON, but that's quite a big subject. It is a big thing, accepting a guru, because as we sing every day, Sakshad Haritvena Samasta Shastraya Uktastata Bhavyata Eva Sadbi Kintu Prabhoya Priya Eva Tasya Vande Guru Shicharana Arvindam. The guru is to be understood as being on the level of Hari, the Supreme Lord. And that may sound outrageous, but it is the verdict of all the scriptures. But it's also to be understood on the same level, inasmuch as very dear to the Lord, and such a person, Vande Guru Shri Charna Arvindam, we offer our respects at the lotus feet of such a guru. This wasn't something that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in composing his Gurvashtaka, made up. Krishna himself says, Acharyang mang vijaniyan navamanyeta karhichitna maritya bhudya suyeta sarva deva mayo guru. Who? Krishna tells Uddhava that you should know the Acharya to be me. Acharya. And never or in no way should he be disrespected or thought of as an ordinary human being, because he's the sum total of all the demigods, all the saintly persons. And that's what a guru does. He represents all these saintly persons. He is a representative to the disciple. May not be to everyone, but to the disciple, he represents the whole Vedic tradition, which all the great personalities within it. And one has to give everything to the guru. Etadeva, this is again Krishna speaking. Etadeva hisat chashai kartavyam guru nishkritam yadvaivi shuddha bhavena sarvartatmatmanam guru hu. Sarvartatmanam Bar panam guru. It is the duty of all true disciples, Lord Krishna says, to repay the debt to their spiritual master. The debt? What debt? Do you want to borrow money from him? No. Don't have financial dealings. You give to your guru. That's the whole point in this verse. You give money and all these, you give to the guru. But your debt is that you're getting spiritual knowledge. So it is the duty, Krishna says, to repay the debt to the spiritual master by offering him with the vishuddha bhavena, with a pure heart. First of all, offer their heart, offer their wealth, offer their very lives. So what does that mean? You have to go and immediately empty out everything in your bank account and send it. Well, theoretically, one could do that. But we find, you have to ask the guru, should I give all the money? How will I maintain my family and all these things? And the guru will advise, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised Shivananda Sen to keep a check on Vasudev Datta, because Vasudev Datta was so liberal. He was a householder, but he was so generous, he'd give his money here and there, and his family was having a difficult time to maintain. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Shivananda Sen, who was a very practical kind of devotee, to oversee him. So all these points have to be understood properly, but the principle is there. It is the principle to give oneself fully to the guru, and even one's wealth. It's specifically mentioned here. Of course, artha can mean the very meaning of one's life, but one should give oneself. It's self surrender. Hari Bhakti Vilas also says Hari Bhakti Vilasa. Ato gurum pranamyaivam sarvasvam vinivedyacha grihniyad vaishnavam mantram diksha purvam vidhanataha. It is the duty of every human being to surrender to a bona fide spiritual master, giving him everything, body, mind, and intelligence. One must take Vaishnava initiation from him. So, it's quite a commitment. One has to give oneself fully to a guru. Not only does one have to accept a guru, but one has to give oneself fully to that guru. So it's really a big, big step. Yasya prasadad bhagavat prasada, yasya prasada nagati katopi. If we have the mercy of the guru, then we can get the mercy of Krishna. If we don't have the mercy of the guru, then we can forget it. We're not going to get the mercy of Krishna. It's a very, very big decision to make, to take a guru. On the one hand, guru eva bigachet, one must approach a guru. On the other hand, it requires complete submission and surrender. And you may think, where can I find such a person? How can I surrender like that? But it can't be avoided. We may think that, well, I'll avoid it. I'll take initiation from Prabhupada. That's what the Ritviks say. But who is there to surrender to? Who is there to tweak your ear? Who is there to get on your case? Who is there to direct you personally? So it does require tremendous faith. Sakshad haritvena samasta. That's Shastra. The guru is the representative of God. It requires tremendous faith. But the guru is to be treated as God. And it's really asking a lot, but that's what Krishna wants. However, the spiritual master himself should always think of himself not principally as a guru, that is his service. He thinks of himself principally as a servant. I'm going to read from the Nectar of Devotion, chapter 14. In this regard, Srila Prabhupada writes, "The spiritual master must never be carried away by an accumulation of wealth or a large number of followers. A bona fide spiritual master will never become like that. But sometimes if a spiritual master is not properly authorized and only on his own initiative becomes a spiritual master, he may be carried away by an accumulation of wealth and large numbers of disciples. His is not a very high grade of devotional service. If a person is carried away by such achievements, then his devotional service becomes slackened. One should therefore strictly adhere to the principles of disciplic succession." So there Srila Prabhupada is warning. We may wonder if the idea, this funny idea that Srila Prabhupada is the last stop on the railway line of the parampara. The parampara just, there's Krishna speaks to Brahma, Brahma speaks to Narad, Narad speaks to Vyas, Vyas to Madhva, and the whole line comes down and just stops at Prabhupada. If we think like that, we may wonder, who is Srila Prabhupada writing this instruction for? He's expecting spiritual masters in future. He's warning that one may take the role of a spiritual master and not be properly qualified for it. That's understood, that some people who take that role won't be properly qualified for it. And that we see from Srila Prabhupada's writing in the Nectar of Devotion, which he published very soon after he came to the Western world. Another quote from, this is from Srila Prabhupada speaking in Vrindavan on the 23rd of October, 1972, addressing the point of the spiritual master being considered as good as Hari, as God. Srila Prabhupada said, "The spiritual master does not think of himself as Hari. It is the disciple's duty to think of the spiritual master as Hari, but he himself doesn't." I'll read that again. "The spiritual master does not think of himself as Hari. Although he's offered the respect of Hari, he thinks of himself as a humble servant of Hari and all others. A spiritual master takes his disciples as his spiritual master. That is the position. He thinks that Krishna has sent me so many spiritual masters. He does not think himself as a spiritual master. He thinks himself their servant. Because they have to be trained, Krishna has appointed him to train them. Therefore, he thinks himself as the servant of the disciples." A quote from the Introduction to the Nectar of Devotion by Srila Prabhupada. "The author of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami, very humbly submits that he is just trying to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, although he humbly thinks himself unfit for this work. That should be the attitude of all preachers of the Krishna consciousness movement following in the footsteps of Srila Rupa Goswami. We should never think of ourselves as great preachers, but should always consider that we are simply instrumental to the previous acharyas, and simply by following in their footsteps, we may be able to do something for the benefit of suffering humanity." So just to recap the points, the central points in this talk. Gurus are required. Everyone who wants to spiritually advance must accept a guru, take initiation, surrender and give everything to the guru, treat the guru as God. However, the guru himself is a Vaishnava. So he doesn't think, "I'm God." He thinks of himself as a servant of everyone else. Krishna willing, we'll continue this discussion at another date and time. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nitaya trunakam padayo nipatya kritvacha kakushatame tadam ravimi. He sadhava sakala eva vihaya durat. Gauranga chandra charane kuru tana raga. Parivadatu jano yata tatava nanamakarona vayang vicharayama. Hari rasa madira madati matta bhuvi vilotha.